Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. Got a question, something you'd like to talk about? Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All month we've been talking about this fabulous subject called eternal security. And those believers who have truly received Jesus Christ, they are eternally secure. Every single believer, every single child of God, every single person who has been added to the body of Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit has eternal security. God has saved them completely. They have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing their future redemption. The fact that they're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord one day. The fact that they are going to receive resurrected bodies one day. All of that is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit himself. So every single believer is eternally secure. But we don't always walk with that full assurance of faith in regards to that particular truth.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit works inside of us to convince us that we truly belong to Jesus, that we're truly children of God, and that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so as he does his work and as our mind starts to align to that truth and really absorb it, really believe it, then confidence starts to just brim over in our lives. And that's what God desires for each and every one of us, for us to have confidence and assurance in our relationship with him. So Paul put it this way in Romans 8, 38 and 39. And this is just a fabulous passage. The whole chapter 8 of the book of Romans is just incredible. I mean, it is just the pinnacle of what the Word of God is all about. But here is how he concludes that great chapter. For I am convinced, in some translations, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that is a conviction that God wants for each and every one of us. I know when I was early in my Christian experience, I wanted to be a person of conviction. I wanted to know that I knew that I knew that I knew.
Yeah.
I wanted to be bold in proclamation. I wanted to have some convictions deep within. And as I've grown through the years, I've become convinced of this truth. And this is where God wants every person to be, convinced of this very truth, that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that is assurance of salvation. Mm-hmm. That is confidence. That is boldness in our relationship with Christ and boldness in our standing in this world in which we live in today. So if you are not convinced, would you today ask the Lord to open up your eyes and to teach you the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus in a way that you not only know it intellectually, but know it experientially? Ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord himself to convince you that nothing can separate you from the love of God. It will absolutely blow your mind. It will absolutely change your life. It will absolutely change every single relationship that you have. This is assurance of salvation. This is what God wants to convince you of. Trust him, and he will do that very work.
As Bob said, we've been talking about it all month, this vital issue of knowing your eternal future is safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. To build on what Bob has just been talking about, we're offering our donors a wonderful 3-message DVD called Eternal Security. What a subject, yes. And as you make your gift this month, we'll send you a copy to help help you see that you are safe and secure as a child of God. So just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, as always, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. Well, again, open lines at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. And if it's about 5 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can speak directly with us right now. 844-322-2742. Of course, that number's good around the clock. If you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, you can leave a voicemail, and we'll get to your question quickly here at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. And in the meantime, guys, a question from Morgan. She would like to know, in what book of Revelation are we in today? Has Ezekiel 36 or 37 started yet?
Well, that's a question that a lot of us would like to know. You know, there are many Bible scholars and teachers who are really obsessed with end times. And so they read the Bible, have that on the right side of their table. They have the news on the left side, or their computer with internet and Google and all of the hot headlines from world news. And they're trying to merge those together to see if what has been prophesied in the Bible is happening right now. And it's interesting, almost every generation does that. Mm-hmm. Back in the 1900s, people were doing that in the 1800s, in the 1700s, in the 1600s. And you go all the way back to the time of the apostles, and they believed that the Lord's return was imminent as well. And so there's a lot of speculation out there, and oftentimes that speculation leads to fear, and we have to just take a step back and say, no one knows the times, and if Jesus said that, then that's the way it is. We're not going to be able to figure it out, so there's no need really trying. What we need to recognize is that people out there need the Lord. And people out there need to be prepared for their last moment on earth, their last breath, so that they can face that with confidence and peace, knowing that when that happens, they can be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Others just need to be prepared if the Lord does return, that they will be ready for him. So our job doesn't change. If we knew the Lord was coming back, on this particular date and this particular year, our job wouldn't change today. We would still be ministers of reconciliation. We would still be ministers of this new covenant, offering to people life, Christ's life, so that they can be raised to walk in the newness of his life. To be ministers of reconciliation, telling people that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. So the date or the time, if we knew it, it wouldn't change our day-to-day right now until that happens. So let's just be about our business of enjoying our relationship with God, standing firmly in the love that is ours in Christ Jesus, and then offering ourselves as living sacrifices to be used by God to tell the world of his goodness, of his grace, of his mercy, of his life. So, we can speculate. And we can say, oh, yeah, we think we're in the end times, and certainly it looks like that could be the case. But, 100 years from later, people could be saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. We don't know, do we, Richard?
We don't, and it's amazing to me. On this side of it, I used to be one of those people who said, oh, my goodness, we're in the end times. When are they going to come for us and knock down the door? And I thought I knew all the answers in Revelation in particular, and then I realized I knew none of the answers in Revelation at all, and I just dropped it. And one day God said, why don't you read Revelation? You've got to be kidding me. That book cost me so much trouble when I was younger. And then I discovered Revelation the way God intended it to be. Revelation is supposed to be the most hopeful, assuring book in the Bible, because Jesus is victorious. It's not a book about what's going to happen to Richard. Mm-hmm. You know, oh my goodness, did I do that wrong? And you know, I don't search my hands and look in the mirror every day for the mark of the beast or any of that kind of stuff. We serve a victorious God.
Yeah.
There is nothing that Satan can do to take us away from him. And we just read in Romans 8 that there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. Anyway, I thought I was convicted about that. Turns out I was just arrogant. Now, arrogance is, in my working definition, it's fear expressed by pride. But at the core of it, it's fear. And when God takes away the fear and the arrogance and hands you true assurance, then you can read all of these apocalyptic prophecies, Old Testament and New Testament, and say, thank you, Jesus. I can trust you even though I don't know the next moment. And I don't need to know the next moment. I know this moment, you're here with me right now.
That's good news.
That is good news.
Yes, indeed.
Morgan, hope that's a help to you. Again, open lines 844-322-2742. Guys in Atlanta, listener, would like to know, what is the role of angels, especially concerning believers?
Well, that's a great question. It seems like over the last 20, 25 years, there's been a lot of interest in the angelic world, and folks are asking God for their personal angels, for protection from their personal angels. We've seen television programs about angels and all of these sort of things, and we're fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. And Hebrews really gives us, I think, some good insight into the angelic world, and so does Peter in his first letter. We certainly, I think, put too much stock in the angelic world and not enough stock in Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is superior than angels. And angels, the good angels, those that didn't fall, they're simply labeled as messengers, and they do what God tells them to do on our behalf. So they are there for our benefit, those who are going to be heirs of salvation. So that's what God has basically created them for. They're never going to experience the grace of God like you and I, but they are messengers, servants in God's work to bring that grace into our lives. And so that's a really, really neat thing.
Yeah, it is.
But all honor and worship and all of that really needs to be directed to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we can thank God that there are angels that serve in this great rescue mission.
Mm-hmm.
But they only do exactly what God tells them to do. Richard, any thoughts on that?
Well, one simple thought. There is no angel that indwells me.
Correct.
The Holy Spirit indwells me. Therefore, the angel has to be outside of me, and therefore an angel can only serve as God orders it to serve. The evil angels, Satan orders them around and they try to beset us and all that. And I'm certain, based on biblical record, that sometimes the two angels get into it. But there's no battle there. I mean, there's no way that any of Satan's angels are going to defeat any of God's angels. It's just not possible. And so let's allow the battles that happen in the spiritual realm to happen in the spiritual realm. They're not my battle.
Yeah.
My battle's already been won.
That's exactly.
Jesus won it.
Exactly right. So here's two verses, I think, to help us as far as angels are concerned. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. So The writer of Hebrews starts this entire book with a comparison of Jesus to the angels.
Yes.
And at the end, he says this of the angels, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So they are available to God at his beck and call to do whatever he tells them to do. And whatever he's going to tell them to do, it's for our sake to serve us, those who are going to inherit salvation.
Yeah.
The other verse that really is just mind-bending when you think about it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. And it's one of those, do you not know? So Paul, you know, uses that phrase quite often in his letters, specifically in 1 Corinthians and in the book of Romans. Do you not know? I mean, you're supposed to know this. So do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more than matters pertaining to this life? So he just makes this statement that we're going to stand in judgment of the angels. And that's just a wow reality, a wow truth. So I think if we will take these two verses, it will give us the proper perspective, the proper understanding of angels and their role in our lives. And it won't distract us from our faith and our worship and our keeping our eyes fully focused on Jesus Christ.
We hope this answer has been beneficial to this Atlanta listener, and thanks for reaching out to us. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. If it's a quarter past three, well, you're hearing the live broadcast. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Glad that you're here. You know, friends, there probably are about as many questions out there as there are people on earth, but a great way to get spiritual questions answered is through Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's helped a lot of people cut through the fog and clear the confusion about this gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. So if you're struggling with your Christian life, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace can point you to the reason. Visit basicgospel.net and click that link right at the top of the homepage to order your copy and learn how, as I said, this Christian life really is supposed to work. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, you'll find it top of the page, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk to Clay in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hello, Clay.
Hey. You know, talking about this security of eternal life in Christ Jesus, what's really helped me is, you know, a person that it says in Christ Jesus, a person that's not born again, that's not in covenant with God, they're not in Christ Jesus. So eternity is a time and a place. But when a person, I think I got this from y'all, but when you're placed in Christ Jesus, your identity is in Christ Jesus, and eternal life is no longer a time and a place, but a person.
Well, I think that's exactly right. Paul, Jesus defined eternal life this way, that we would know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. That's eternal life, is knowing them. So it's not about longevity. It's really about quality. It's about a different type of life than what we can experience through worldly means. So eternal life is really about that quality of life that we find through relationship or in relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. But yes, Clay, you're exactly right. We were once in darkness. We were once spiritually dead. We were once in Adam. We were once a part of this world. That was where our identity was derived. But through faith in Jesus Christ, that location has changed. So now we're in Christ. And Christ is in us. And so we live this new life, this eternal life in Jesus. So he's the realm of our existence right now. He is, as Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, he is our very life. So because he is our very life, then we can feel eternally secure. We can experience that total assurance, knowing that we're in him and in him forever. So, Clay, that's an excellent point.
So you start thinking like what you're describing there. You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. Okay, you start thinking that. Well, Bob, it's a no-brainer that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God if you're in him. But before I was in him, I knew a little bit about God, but I separate myself from him all the time, you know, and it's just it's a renewing of the mind to what our true identity is, and that, I believe that's the only thing that's going to give us, knowing that eternal life is not someplace all way off that somebody's got to bring it down to us, or it's a long way off that one day we're going to enter into eternal life. I entered into eternal life
the day you believed.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's
right,
that's
well, it's getting bigger. I sure enjoyed this month. It's getting bigger. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Clay. We appreciate that. Thanks, my friend.
Yeah, we had this question from an Arizona listener. If believers who make up the church comprise the body of Christ, why are the seven churches of the Revelation told to repent? I thought once we had we were in Christ, we had repented. Once we come into the light, we'll always be in the light. Please comment on this.
Well, I think that's a good point. You know, we have to realize that in Revelation, the first three chapters or so, he has a message to the churches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a message to individuals. It's a message to churches. And that's vitally important for us to understand. And each of those different churches had characteristics and things that marked them out as distinct. And I think we see that somewhat today in some of the denominations that are out there and how they're handling the Word of God, how they're handling the great truths of the faith, the things that bind us together. You would say to some of them, you need to repent and come back to truth, come back to your first love. So those are messages to churches, not individuals. And that's important for us to understand. So within every one of those churches, there are going to be individuals that are truly saved, truly marked out. But from a leadership standpoint, and I think that's who he's really addressing, the leadership of those particular churches, that they need to see things a little bit differently. They need to really align themselves and the overall direction of that group with the truth of the gospel. And that's why he's saying repent. Get this whole group back centered in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Richard, any thoughts on that?
Well, this is one of the things that makes the Bible so fascinating to read and to study, because there are all manner of statements that don't apply to me anymore. They used to, but they don't now. There are other statements that apply to me now that didn't apply to me in the past. And as we study through this and as we become more convinced of who Jesus is and what he's doing in and through us, literally, we change. Our beliefs change, our behaviors change, and we can look at these passages never in fear, never in condemnation, and say, well, if the shoe fits, I'd better think about this. And, you know, and about the time I think I understand something completely, then the Spirit says, well, have you thought about it this way? And it explodes again. And so we're never done.
Right.
So that's what's so fascinating here. And there's no fear to it. There's no condemnation. There's only the love of God in Christ changing us from the inside out. What a privilege.
Yes, indeed. Well, as Clay was saying, this whole month we've spent focusing on eternal security. And I was thinking about my grandson. He was born last August, and he came into this world and fully human. And all of his life he's going to learn what it means to be a human being. Mm-hmm. And when we're saved, we are born again into a position of eternally secure.
Yeah.
And all of our Christian lives, we're going to learn what it means to be eternally secure. We're going to learn exactly what Jesus accomplished on our behalf. And as we do, we're going to grow in our assurance and grow in our confidence in the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Well, friends, if this true gospel message you hear every day on this program is making a difference for you and your family, perhaps, well, please remember that others also need to hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. Your gift will help us reach them. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of the three-message DVD called Eternal Security. It's our way of saying thanks to you for your help. And a reminder, too, that the listener line is always open for any question that you might have. A voicemail does a really, really good job of communicating that to us. That number is 844-322-2742, and you can call anytime, day or night. Again, it's set up for you, and we hope you'll use it. 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.